Welcome to Deep Roots, Island Waves, stories about life's lessons from Indigenous voices. A collaboration of Clahoose First Nation and Cortez Community Radio. In this edition, producer Manda O'Fox Gillespie looks at how old ways of preserving food are manifesting as new ways of preserving culture.
Are the preservation of food and culture connected? On some reserves in the Pacific Northwest, the answer is yes, and sometimes in surprising ways. I'm walking along the shore of the Clahoose Reservation at Squirrel Cove on Cortez Island. I'm heading to a traditional smokehouse that sits on the beach between the homes here and the Salish Sea. I'm here to explore some of the ways that the preservation of food and culture are connected on and off the reserve. The smokehouse I'm touring is a simple structure. There's a lock on the door, and as we enter, I am struck by the scent. It's beautiful. It's a grandfather's love for his great-grandchild. It is the sweet smell of spring salmon and the salt of the sea. Jacqueline is the granddaughter of the man who built this smokehouse, and she shows me around how the fish are still hung exactly the same all these years later, how the fire is made.
These metal pieces, you light the fire, and then you put the metal on so the heat stays down, but the smoke comes up. So when you come here in the middle of the night, super smoky in here, you have to take these off.
This smokehouse is similar to ones that many Indigenous families throughout the Pacific Northwest used to ensure they had abundance year-round. Just 40-some years ago when this smokehouse was built, there was no electricity and no roads on this reservation. Jacqueline takes me to meet her mother, Yvonne Emma Louis, so I could learn more about what it was like to live here at the time the smokehouse was built and to be dependent on what was preserved within it.
I grew up here. Well, I was born here, Cortez Island in Squirrel Cove. And I was here till I was six, and then residential school. We lived at the end of the road. It was, I'm not too sure how many houses were here, about 12, I guess. Most of them were 2 to 3 stories high. They had big families. There was no ferry, no hydro, no running water. We lived in a one-room house with 5 children and my parents. And there was just a trail that ran through the village. So there was bushes on either side, and then there was trails that went down to the beach. So that's how we got our groceries and everything was through water, through our boat, or through an airplane would come and take us to Campbell River or Paul River, where we would go and get groceries once a month, I think. Mostly lived on what my dad would catch. We didn't have freezers back in the day. We didn't have power at all. A lot of things we smoked and cured it that way, like all our fish for the season, for the winter, the cold months. We would smoke a bunch of fish, like maybe 50 to 75, because we had a large family. And he would do enough for the elders that couldn't fend for themselves. My dad was very proud of looking after the elders and brought us up to be the same, have the same standards as we look after the elders. Everything we did was different times of the year. Like smoking fish was maybe in August, and maybe in July we would go down to the beach and smoke our deer meat. And that took a long time. We'd be up early in the morning and we'd still be smoking it at night. So that was like an all-day process to smoke our deer meat and preserve it that way. And cockles, we did the same. Clams, we would put them on a stick and a tall stick, and then we would light a fire and lean it onto the fire like you do with sockeye and barbecued fish, so we would do that the same way as well. But you had to use a special kind of a stick that would be able to take the heat from the fire. It wouldn't break or anything like that.
Yvonne Louis told me many stories of their preserving. I could imagine her family all gathered around the smokehouse, hot in the hard work of preserving food for the family and community. She shared that it was the one time of year her mother would swim, wading into the water in her dress. An entire family, even a community, coming together to ensure there was enough food for all the seasons. It's the opposite of fast food. Nowadays, even on Cortez in the winter, we have it much easier. We can rely on freezers, packaged foods, the occasional pizza. When I sat down with Yvonne Louis to talk about the smokehouse, I sat at her family table. I brought a cake. She made clam chowder, the clams and oysters so tender and fresh it was the best I'd ever had. I asked her about the fast food of her day, the food they could rely on anytime, any season.
Well, I'd have to say smoked fish, because we could have that anytime. And they smoked it so dry that it would last. It preserved, like it could last from year to year, as long as it was stored properly. And my mom did have a room behind the house where it was cool. It stayed cool. And I think my dad like double insulated it so that in the summer it would still be cold in that room. So we would store all our canned goods in there, and our smoked fish would stay in and stay cool and good in there. It wouldn't get moldy or anything. So that was always available, like living without power and just cooking on a wood stove.
And what did you eat on special occasions? Like, what would your mother make you for your birthday?
Most probably clam chowder. She made good clam chowder. But none of us were home for our birthdays. We were always in residential school. So, but she baked bread for us all the time, and bannock, and yeah. So just to make us feel like we're not there anymore. We're home and we're safe and we're back home.
Across the Salish Sea from the Louis Smokehouse and the Clahoos Reserve is the Slaaman Nation. There lives a woman named Kusin who has become known on Cortez because of her work with a project called the Blanket Exercise that she facilitated here recently. I was told by one participant that it was life-changing. She is also deeply involved with preserving Indigenous language and the development of the First Voices app. Welcome. Can you introduce yourself?
Okay. Ajay Chepot, Kusin Atnan. My name is Kusin, and I am from the Slaaman Nation, but I also have deep connections to Clahoos and Huamasku. Those are sister nations. And I find in like Western society, you know, we measure our richness in like education or money, but like for Indigenous people, we measure our richness in the traditional food that you have in your freezer. So I come from a very rich family with traditional foods. So food is really like a staple for Indigenous people. Like one of our teachings is if you set the table, people will come. So no matter what kind of event or ceremony or gathering you're having, the first thing that you always do is you feed the people and you nourish them, and then they can give you their time. So food is always the first step for Indigenous people. Everything revolves around food.
You're listening to Deep Roots Island Waves, stories about life's lessons from Indigenous voices. This episode brought to you in part by Literacy Now, Cortez Community Forest Co-op, Study Build, and private donors.
I have in my hands a photo of herring strung up on a line behind a house. It looks just like any house you might see in the city or around the island, but with all these small herring hung like laundry beside it. Then below it, it says, "It's that time of year at Koopa's house." What's happening in this picture, and who is Koopa?
Koopa means grandfather. I call him Papa. Yeah, my Papa is he was raised by his grandmother. He was lucky enough that He only attended residential school for 1 year. So he grew up with a lot of really old teachings and was able to hang on to them. And, you know, he is very old school in that he's a hunter, he's a fisherman, always smoking fish in the smokehouse or threading the hair, like the picture that you saw. It's just been a really important part of our life growing up. I remember just being covered in scales from rinsing off all of the fish and everything. You're just covered in scales. It's everywhere. And in the whole yard, too. But, like, everyone stinks together, right? So it didn't necessarily matter. And it's just about the time together. And, like, when you have 200 fish to prepare, then that's the time that you're telling stories or the time that you're sharing teachings with the children. And it's the time that you're all laughing together. You know, I am from a generation where it's kind of dwindling out, but my dad talks about, you know, his mom used and Auntie Liz used to prepare like 200 to 400 fish in a weekend for the whole year. So those are the real warrior women, right? Those are the ones who had the teachings and who just did what they had to do to make it through the year, to be rich for the rest of the year. In my family, we get together for everyone's birthday and we eat. And, you know, when we were children, my grandfather would always say a few words at dinner just to share with us. And he always opened with, this is not me speaking to you guys. This is my grandmother. And she told me I need to pass this on. You know, my grandfather is too old now to smoke fish because that takes a few days and the fire has to be constant and it can't be too hot or else your fish are going to fall off the hooks in the ceiling. Like, these are things that my daughter will not be exposed to. And it's not just in my family, it's in the whole community now. There are like less and less smokehouses in the community.
Both Kusin and Yvonne mentioned to me what an important part of their childhood it was helping to prepare and preserve food for the elders in their community. I wonder what happens as the elders with their traditional wisdom die, as the climate changes, as the fish resources become scarce and the smokehouses scarcer. What is to become of traditional food resources and the communities that they bind together? Is it all bad news?
You know, the times are changing and we're able to be proud to be First Nations now. Like, my dad's generation was the first one to go to public school here. So he fought a lot growing up, you know, and I guess you had to kind of shelf the Indian in you just to be successful in this new world. It's just like a resurgence that's happening and we're waking up and realizing that we don't have to be ashamed of who we are and where we come from. We can be proud of it and we can be proud of the teachings that have made it this far. 100 years later in colonization, we still have one person threading herring, right? So I think that things will look up and people will keep not waking up, but people will keep realizing that it's okay. And that this is something that we need to hang on to for the next 100 years.
And Yvonne, do you worry about the future and who will take care of you as you get older? Who will bring you food like you did with the elders in your youth?
I don't worry about it, no. I brought my children up to be the same. So I know I'll be well taken care of. They might leave me outside in the dark once in a while. Just...
Probably. No, just
If I ever misbehave, I'm sure they would. No, I'm just kidding. I made sure that I raised my children that way, to respect elders and respect people. You know, it's you have a lot of regrets growing up in the residential school, but I didn't let it beat me. So that I would not forget who I was. I always had that in my heart that I never let that go.
Kusin, what of the future? What do you hope for your daughter?
I don't feel as wealthy now as I did when I was a child. Like, you know, when I talked about
us getting food fish once a year, and it used to be like 25 plus. And I don't even think that we got any fish last year, right? So definitely not as wealthy as we used to be. And my daughter will never experience the whole family being in the yard preparing fish together. You know, it's just not the reality that we're in today. But that being said, I still have it in my power to teach my daughter the language or and the songs, and I can still expose her to the food, but not the whole motion of us doing it together as a community. I want her to be able to experience all of the traditional food that I have, like berries in the summer, and not just picking berries, but having a basket that she wrote to put her berries in, or being able to just go fish off of Harwood and in Sarah Point and all of these places that, you know, our people still have names for. Like, I just hope that our way of life will be not just secure, but thriving in the next couple of generations. Like, we're not there yet, but we're working on it.
Food is central to all of our lives, and how and what we preserve of food has changed, and in changing it reflects and defines how our cultures change. This is especially evident in the First Nations communities of this region. And in this change, much of the language, tradition, and actual food resources have been lost. But not all is lost. I've always loved that on this remote island of Cortez that I call home now, many of our most unifying community events happen on the reserve. There is always food. Old and young, farmer and hippie, indigenous and immigrant, we all sit down together. We show up. We each bring something to the table. Once that would have been a deer, a salmon, fresh-picked berries, smoked oysters, smoked herring. Now we bring ourselves, and our hands willing to work, our minds ready to learn, and our hearts open to hope. And we leave full. And together we believe that we can preserve what we value, that we can pass on to our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren the possibility of healthy bodies, communities, and culture. We preserve food because we trust that in doing so, we are preserving the best of the past for the future. Preserve, preserve, reserve.
Thanks to producer Manda O'Fox Gillespie for this edition of Deep Roots, Island Waves. Senior producers are Morgan Tams and Greg Asoba. Series coordinator is Odette Auger. And Clahoose coordinator is Jacqueline Mathieu. Cortez Community Radio is grateful to the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Cortez Island Museum and Archive Society, Canada 150, and the Clahoose First Nation for their support. Find more at cortezradio.ca.